I had a hard time finding hundreds at the airport. I mean, getting rid of my hundreds at the airport. I'm like, can you change this for a Starbucks coffee? Finally, Burger King helped me out.
Welcome to Dialing Dork, everyone. My name is Irv Katz. I am live here in my basement with Dork Almighty Matt Minar.
He's arguably not alive.
Wow. That was...
Zombie Nation!
Stirring. And we're also joined tonight by the nicknameless Russ Miller.
Having cord problems at the moment.
Okay. Hey, Drew is in Chicago. And he says he sucks.
Yes, Drew indeed sucks.
He doesn't suck that bad, though. He actually went to Nauticon and presented on HyperCard, of all things.
I was sick.
I understand.
I was legitimately sick.
I understand. Yeah.
No.
I think we were in Las Vegas.
I had an actual physical ailment. And we want to thank the nicknameless Russ Miller for bringing
Wait, wait, wait.
Nice
you're about to do it. Wait, 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 wait. You're about to do it wrong. Tonight's show brought to you.
Tonight's show brought to you by Old Granddad Whiskey. Comes in a convenient pint bottle, which might actually slip into a cargo pant type pocket and make it into Brown Stadium. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, we'll certainly have some during the show. As you know,
convenient
it's, I think it's illegal to advertise something that you don't actually use yourself.
Yes, we'll have to partake.
So clearly, we have to. What do you? What's
the
going on?
Demands.
How's it? What's going on, Matt?
I'm turning myself down. I heard myself in the headphones and realized that. God damn.
Yeah. Well. Okay.
I mean, I know it's the usual
tonight
way.
Tonight we are going to address a certain. What was it? Is it Nicholas? Nicholas Conrad.
Nicholas Conrad of Punxsutawney.
Should we have mentioned his? Maybe I'll bleep out his name.
Actually, we should.
Nicholas
Conrad. Nicholas.
No, his name's Nicholas. His name is not
Conrad.
Oh, is it Conrad?
I have no idea.
Conrad.
It's one of those things where the first name and the last name are both first names.
That's true. Nicholas
Conrad. But they're both obscure first names.
I don't think Nicholas exactly like obscure. Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Now, it's not John David or Mike William. All right, I'm thinking
John Jacob Jingleheimer.
Well, look, Mr. Conrad took us to task, shall we say?
He did not.
He most certainly did.
He most certainly did not.
Well, I mean,
he
was
simply offered up a self-serving portrait of his own blog.
Well, okay, he pointed us. True, he pointed us to his own blog. This is true. However. He did chide us,
he did, for
expressing a lack of understanding or interest or opinion in the major topic of net neutrality, which was a really hot topic about, what, 6 months ago? Well, I'd say several months ago.
Back when I was still reading Slashdot, like 3 years ago.
Well, I still read Slashdot.
I mean, it really came to a head, I'd say, like several months ago. Oh, wait a minute. I'm gonna need your Mac address,
right.
Probably.
Yeah, the filter.
So we'll get that momentarily.
Anyway, yes,
I'm still waiting for my
laptop. His article was pretty good. And we followed that up with a link to Ars Technica that linked to that public knowledge website that had a good summary of issues as well. And some global opinions on the whole thing.
Well,
which
Matt,
I thought was
interesting. You actually took the time to read the Ars Technica thing, why don't you tell us...
No, I'm not ready yet. I'm bringing up my notes.
Okay. Matt, okay, now look. How do we approach this, okay? I mean, do we need to define what the net neutrality issue is first before we start talking about it, or should we just jump in?
What if you line up in the net neutrality zone? Is that 15 yards or 5?
Well, a net neutrality zone infraction, lining up in the net neutrality zone, is a 5-yard penalty. It is comparable to offsides.
Okay.
All right. Which, by the way, I really believe that there are a lot of uncalled neutral zone infractions.
Seems like it these days.
I mean, the camera could be slightly angled back behind the defensive line, making them look as if they're a little further ahead than they actually are. But it seems to me like there are a lot of neutral zone infractions in the NFL. But anyway. That's neither here nor there.
It makes the game more exciting, just like not calling interference makes more long plays.
Well, honestly, pass interference should be a 15-yard penalty just like it is in college. I am so sick of this bullshit where they give it – the penalty goes to the spot of the foul, which is just basically assuming that the receiver was going to catch the ball. Which is a low percentage play most of the time. It's some deep ball or some fade route to the corner or whatever. All right. You know what? Don't get me started. Yeah. Don't even get me started.
We're thinking about the push-out, though. No more push-outs.
Yeah,
I
don't know. I don't know if I like that.
Now they can just unload, baby. Unload.
Well, maybe you're right. So, Matt, do you have your notes ready?
I'm getting there.
You're getting there?
I had to, join Not Twi-Fi and get to the webpage and all that.
Why did you have to rejoin?
No, I didn't have to rejoin. I just simply had to enable Wi-Fi and move things forward.
Okay.
iPhone was not Wi-Fi.
Yeah, they're actually talking about the next rev of iPhone for this summer.
Yeah?
A firmware upgrade or
a equipment upgrade? Like new chipsets, lower power, lower consumption of power, and full support for 3G. Although I don't really care so much about that. But
can I take it to Europe?
Yes. And it's supposed to be, it may be not locked to AT&T.
Good too.
Right. So all these hacksaws who insist on jailbreaking their iPhones are not will be rendered obsolete.
Very well. Wireless Mac filter. Edic McFilter list.
I just texted you my Mac address.
My cell phone's upstairs.
How convenient.
Why don't you just tell it to me?
Okay. On the air.
On
I
the
want
air.
Everybody to open up their Mac filters to this address.
Yes.
Their wireless Mac
yes.
filters.
Yes. 00?
00.
Yes.
1D.
Yes.
Edward 0.
Edward 0.
65.
65.
41.
41.
Frank 1.
Frank 1. That was a dumb thing for us to do.
No, that's pure entertainment right there.
All right. Well, any moment now, you Super should be cool. able to join Herd Network. Hair network.
Okay, I thought you were going.
All right. Okay. So.
I am amping myself up a touch.
Okay. So I think. Why don't you try it now?
Okay. I'm now acquiring a network address. I was not doing that before.
Well, there you go.
I'm connected.
Great. Done. Okay. So. Where are we? What are we doing? Net neutrality. I got to find Matt's email. Talk, Matt. Speak. Do something.
We breathe too much into the microphones. It's clearly audible over the headphones.
You're supposed to keep your hand, fist away from the microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's read. let's read. Nicholas's initial email. Shall we?
Not the whole thing. I mean, that's just
no. Just what he said
crazy.
About us.
Yeah, that's kind. That's cool.
Hail dorks all. So look, he was clearly respectful from the beginning.
Do you want to start the show again? Since we just fucked around with computers for 10 minutes.
Welcome to Dial of the Word.
No, that's not really unlike many other beginnings of the show.
And if you're done fast forwarding to the beginning,
it had modest entertainment value. Extremely modest.
Yeah, there were neutral infractions.
We are modest.
All right, we need to hit that old granddad to get this show going. All right, hail dorks all. I love your show and usually find the encyclopedic knowledge expressed in your banter to be a huge wellspring from which to update my own knowledge of all things nerdy. However, while listening to your last show, I felt a great disturbance in the dork side of the force. Well put. To hear two members of the dork squad altogether profess ignorance of the issues involved in net neutrality was bad enough. But then to have such a technical issue so distorted on the show was very concerning to me. Therefore, I have included for your perusal the blog entry I wrote on this very subject as a primer for the crew. It was written for a non-technical audience, so it's a bit below your levels, for which I apologize, but it should still be instructive of the political economic issues involved. Cheers.
Skull.
Can't know everything, yo.
Well, I went on to say that, he was respectful.
Gonna have to make room for this knowledge, right? And removing that of 17th level.
No.
Paladins.
No, that is not how the brain works.
I'm hoping that this one pushes two girls, one cup out of my brain.
I'm glad I never let it in.
That's a bit rough, isn't it?
Mm.
We still need to. I need.
Speaking of two girls, one cup. I just want to congratulate. It's been a long time. I know this is a little old now, but
yes,
I want to congratulate YouTube. At least the UK site.
Yes.
Which for April Fool's Day, Rickrolled every single video. Every single link on the site was a Rickroll.
This weekend when we were in Vegas, we kept commenting when they would play that song.
Yeah.
During our gambling.
Do you know what? Do you know what a Rickroll is?
I was going to say, why am I all of a sudden out of the meme central here?
Rickrolling is when you put a link on a website and people think they're clicking on something
usually
to
boobies.
Go somewhere or like to
boobies
or something, and instead it takes them to the YouTube video of Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley.
Like that nasty website that you said.
Oh, the Internet is Serious. Well, the first Rickroll was the Internet is Serious Business.com. So YouTube, every single link, every single video on YouTube.com, UK, was a Rickroll.
Nice. I wonder,
sure,
you know,
wasn't a hack?
It was April Fool's Day.
Yeah. There was recently a flash mob in a UK Metro underground tube station where a bunch of people got together and danced to Rick Astley tunes. And then they dispersed.
Outrageous. A flash mob, huh?
Flash mob.
Is that like the those weird T-Mobile commercials where people text each other and show up in a grocery store and
exactly.
have cart races?
Yep.
And then run out?
And then run out. Yep. Flash mob.
These are real.
These are real.
Flash mobs are real.
Yep.
They are.
Girl got
real in New York. I bet there hasn't been.
Cleveland. Yeah, probably not in Cleveland, but a girl just got arrested in Washington, D.C.
They had
a flash mob at the Jefferson Memorial. And they had all gathered at like midnight, and it's open 24/7,
mm-hmm.
with their, you know, iPods or other suitable MP3 devices
mm-hmm.
in their, you know, plugged in earphones, the whole nine yards, and they quietly danced.
And they got arrested.
And one girl was arrested by a officer who had come by and tried to disperse them. They're of course, you know, arguing that they were making no. You know, it's a fair argument to say they weren't really disturbing the peace. There was nobody really to bother at that hour. And it is 24/7, and they weren't destroying any property. They were assembling peacefully. I'm not sure what the charges would
be. I think she probably defecated on the statue.
Probably not.
No?
No.
That's what I hear about these flash mobs.
They defecate. Before they leave?
Before they leave.
They defecate.
They might.
So Matt.
So anyway, yeah.
Okay,
hold on.
Okay.
Hold on. Wait.
Let me just say to Mr. Conrad that we appreciate your email.
Mm-hmm.
Glad to know you're listening.
He puts
the red in Conrad.
Yes, he does.
He certainly does. And he puts the lass in Nicholas.
Puts the gleam in the cube.
He puts the gleam on the cube.
I say red,
cube.
I always think of it.
Gleaming the cube. That's excellent. Excellent. Okay, so look. We want to thank you for your email. We're going to try to discuss net neutrality here. We're going to try to keep it light and keep it entertaining, but we're actually going to try
topic show.
Net neutrality, Rick rolling.
We're already halfway there.
So, dial a dork.
Grumpy granddad?
Maybe we'll get to that.
Well, I don't know.
Damn kids.
All right, so
tell us about net neutrality. Let's make sure we satisfy the technical requirements put on us by our listeners.
I hate when you do that to us.
I'm sorry, you have to do it.
Do it.
All right, I'd like to attack this problem from a different angle that I found very appropriate. Especially from an American perspective, it'll speak to our, you know, nation's rights.
Speak.
So the link on Ars Technica had an additional link to an article on public knowledge, which was about a paper that was a response to an inquiry by several nations around the world. And it said this. In a neutral internet, consumers would have certain rights. Those are as follows. You may attach devices of your choice. Access or provide content services and applications of their choice. Have the right for their access to be free from discrimination according to source and destination, content, or type of application. I think those rights there speak to the cores of what net neutrality is about.
So in other words, who wrote this?
A consortium.
Probably Lawrence Lessig.
The Transatlantic Consumer Dialogue. A group of 60 consumer and public interest organizations from the EU and the US.
Okay, so these, you know, you said these were consumer advocates or all or from across the board?
Consumer and public interest. Damn it. Yeah, consumer and public interest organizations from, or basically around the world.
Okay. So, I mean, are they're biased?
Well,
to the rights of the customer.
To the rights of the customer, indeed, right. Which is what we had said in our original arguments that was one of the one of the tenets of net neutrality was to benefit consumer choice.
Well, it's what does it matter to me if YouTube has to pay money to make sure that their videos load quick? Isn't that what we're talking about here?
There are other ways to make that happen. Technologically speaking, Akamai and whatnot.
Right. So the thing that you're saying that
opposite? You know,
what the rights are saying is that the access and bandwidth should not necessarily be controlled by
a telco
by the telco or the ISP. Exactly. So neither source nor destination should be discriminated against or benefited unfairly. Right? So you
fair
so
always open to definition.
Fair, well, right.
Paying extra money for some extra service could be considered fair.
Well, but you know, we do that already. You know, we used to buy 26K modem lines. Now we buy 1.5 meg, you know, T1s basically. Point to point protocol, but you know.
I have an OC48 here in my house.
I believe you.
Actually, it's a 192. I can get a full DVD porn movie in 5 seconds.
We host the internet out of Irv's basement.
I have it in my house. I can do a gig between computers.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, baby.
Hell yeah. I have a microwave.
Of
sight microwave set up from one side of my house to the other.
Right.
It doesn't work.
So people who buy, you know, access from ISPs already pay for bandwidth. You know, websites are you're charged by how much bandwidth you use, right? But what would happen if YouTube was also able to pay, you know, $100 million to ensure that over the network, its traffic would receive priority over anybody else's? So while you weren't watching YouTube and other people on your, you know, hub or you know, whatever were saturating the network with YouTube and you might be trying to do some remote desktop, you know, work, your access would be shitty. You'd be like, God damn. And of course, you ain't going to be able to pay $100 million to improve your service against YouTube.
So in other words, I mean, but why is this, I don't understand. I mean, like, I am a customer.
Right.
I am not a provider of content.
No, you're not.
To any great degree.
But the net doesn't know anything about that. A packet's a packet. It's another place it's starting from and a place it's ending.
Okay. Yes, you're right. You're right. And so, I mean, are we like basically agreeing with Ted Stevens then at this point? Like, you know, the internet is just a bunch of tubes?
What it is a packet can receive priority over other packets. It's my understanding of what net neutrality is. They can start labeling a packet, say 1 through 16, and whoever can buy a number 1 is going to beat many contention.
Right. So, you know, if two packets meet, hit a router at the same point,
Right.
The router is going to...
Instead of being treated fairly or in some algorithmic, you know, round-robin, you know, method, which I think is what most routers do.
Or math that I don't understand.
Yeah, exactly. One would receive, you know, priority over another.
All right, so, I mean, we have seen... This exists in other places. You can buy passes now at amusement parks to bypass the line.
Goddamn bastards.
You can get... You know, you have elite things at the airport.
Or even just... That's for, like, screening, but you definitely have seen...
Oh, we've seen all the first-class passengers.
I mean, I think... But that's
the
funny thing is everybody has to go through security together.
So everybody...
Not anymore.
It's called clear pass. I was just reading about it last week sometime.
Really?
I think it's still in trial at a couple airports.
Okay. Okay, I didn't know that.
You submit all your documentation, you prove you're a nice person, and they do a small background check, and then you're allowed to fly through.
Okay, well, that's
That is a system that seems
and you,
fraught
you pay
with
for that?
Stupidity.
You pay for
yes,
that.
Yes, you pay.
Well,
yeah,
so,
yeah, that's definitely dumb.
I mean, to support Nicholas's you know argument, there are a lot of other scenarios... Where you pay money for, shall we say, priority.
Sure. That doesn't necessarily mean, in this case, as you know, a huge common platform that, A, it would be right in this environment, or B, that it's right,
now,
I think my argument is that,
and you know, to do these things at an amusement park, let's say where you bypass the lines, that's one thing.
That's a pain in the ass.
To do this at
I hate that.
Well, yeah, but the airport, the amusement park is private property.
Agreed.
Okay.
True enough.
Whereas the airport is, I don't believe that's private property per se.
Public, I thought.
Definitely.
I think it's public, and all the a lot of the security. I mean, the security is done by the U.S. government.
TSA
is the U.S. government.
The overriding agency is.
Yeah,
I think a lot of the people employed are private.
Well, I mean, it might be a private company that you know is doing all the staffing.
I think your point is valid.
Right.
Sure.
Okay.
Right.
So
in a public space.
What about the HOV lane?
Well, see, now this is what I'm now here's before you get to that. This Nicholas took exception with my interstate.
Yes, he did. Analogy.
Example. Mm-hmm. But what I would suggest is that what we have to decide here is the internet private property? You know, is it really the property of, you know, certainly in the last mile, I mean, you know, is it the property of the ISP and the phone company, or is it merely, you know, public property where... Every you know, and that's why I'm very leery about this whole you know this whole airport security service is because we're talking about public property here and you know federal government run security you really shouldn't be able it should be a very egalitarian situation and I'm wondering is the internet you know private public property a la the roads look you can't there's nothing you can do. On the roads, outside of being an emergency vehicle, there's nothing you can do to get priority over another vehicle. Okay?
You can run it off the road.
Well, I mean, within the bounds of legality.
Agreed.
Okay?
I guess what I'm
saying is now Russ brought up the notion of the HOV lane.
Sure.
And that's clearly due.
No, but that doesn't cost you anything.
And it also
necessarily
incents behavior they want to encourage. The
right. It actually incents more efficient packaging of the transport.
Okay, so yeah, maybe it's like, you know, I mean, I don't know if the internet does packet carpooling. But I mean, Akamai.
We might
know,
have
services,
something there.
But services like Akamai.
All right,
you know,
that idea is patented, people.
Okay, but services like Akamai, right? That's like local caching.
Yes.
And you can have your. You can do caching yourself.
Yes, you can.
If you're running like a gateway or something at a company, you can do some content caching and various things like that. So, yeah, you can do some things to kind of HOV your packets a little bit. But there's nothing wrong with that. And people can pay Akamai to cache their stuff at in 50 cities in the United States so that when I go to ESPN.com, I'm not going all the way to
wherever
it's hosted. Presumably where it's hosted or one of the four regional hosting sites or something. I may be getting most of it from Akamai, located 50 miles from here or wherever.
Right, and the point is that
that's fine.
That service doesn't change the priority of
the
packets.
Right. That's right.
It just makes the way the internet works by hop to hop to hop more efficient by reducing the hops.
If I'm doing, in other words, you know, if I'm
other tactics seem to be a win for everybody on the internet. This one clearly is a lose for the people with lower priority.
And to answer or to respond to your earlier point about, you know, is the internet private or public or whatnot, that's a problem that they had to address in the phone, in the regular phone company space, Like,
is the you know, look,
it's and that's where my point. That's
basically like a public thoroughfare, a la the roads or the telephone or the electric company. Or the gas company, or the water and sewer, where it's basically like you pay for what you consume, and you're not, you know, it doesn't matter if you live in the high-rent district or the low-rent district, if you pay your electric bill, you get your electricity.
Yeah, electricity does cost different for different people.
Well, that may be.
You can buy in bulk.
If you, you know, you can put
a big plant.
Oh, well.
But you can buy internet bandwidth in bulk.
In bulk as well. It's the same concept.
Yeah. You can also buy priority when, like, when brownouts happen in California, industry did not go down first. People's houses go down first.
Well, I didn't know you could do that. I don't like that.
Are you sure that's true?
I'm 90% sure that's true.
Huh.
Wow, that's
interesting.
That,
well, anyway, the basic concept is still accurate.
I think we can all agree that, like, let's say, you know, some critical internet things like, you know, maybe local government, emergency services, Department of Defense, things like that. If there's a major squeeze because routers have been taken out or are down or whatever, they should
get
the problem. I think we all agree. And that's the same kind of thing as letting an ambulance or a police escort or whatever go through. Okay? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, you know, we all understand that emergencies and things like that, you know, take precedence, and we all acquiesce to that.
But we also provide,
and it's the law too.
But we also provide for, you know, circumstances like that in the terms of, you know, failover, high availability, you know, redundant connections or alternate connections, you know, that kind of scenario. So I don't know that you would necessarily have to canonize that in law. But the point is that we had talked before about common carrier status, which is what the phone lines ended up with.
Yeah.
All the phone companies have to play by those rules, which says that
doesn't. Never gonna run around and desert you.
Sorry. Never gonna tell a lie. And
never
hurt.
Gonna say goodbye.
I think I've been
Rickrolled. God damn it!
You just got Rickrolled, bitch.
That's the old granddad talking.
Yeah, let's have some old granddad. Hit that motherfucker. All right. Now, where are you going with this, Matt? What are you trying to tell me?
I'm agreeing with you and supporting and in providing a perspective for an answer on your question of whether it should be private or public. Common carrier status is public with, well,
a private.
It's kind of public, yeah.
It's public.
It's public without the government really doing the work. They're just kind of
providing
a framework for commerce to do work.
What we have is a what do they call it? It's monopoly status, but it's accepted.
Yeah, I don't know what that's called.
Well, you know, Dominion East Ohio, whatever, they're the only ones, okay? Here, give me that. Don't put that cap on there. They're the only ones,
really,
I believe,
I'm not a whiskey
who are
guy.
Allowed to touch your gas line. I mean, from the street, you know?
Right.
You know, AT&T or whoever, you know, SBC, Ameritech, whoever it really is, okay, they... You know, they care for the lines, and they, you know, people who are, like, I can, you know, you still have Speakeasy, Russ?
Yes, I do.
Now, Speakeasy is a DSL and phone service provider.
Yes, they are.
But
really?
they are not allowed to, you know, come over to your house and go up the pole.
Yeah, because they don't own the wires.
And fuck with the wires.
The
phone company owns the wires.
That was part of a big bill that went through, that they had to share their wires with anyone who asked.
Right.
What, 95 or something?
Well, I think it was even before then. Yeah. Anyway,
sure,
so
they're making money.
Let's move on, because I think we've hammered that one down. So here's the other half of this, you know, concept of rights and res, you know, restrictions. So the resolution also found that ISPs and network operators should not, so we're negating, they should not unfairly block content, applications, or devices.
Yeah.
They should not deliberately degrade access for content, applications, or devices.
Yeah.
They should not prioritize data according to its source or destination.
Okay.
And they should not discriminate against particular providers of content, applications, services, or devices. Basically reinforcing, again, what we had just all been talking about.
Let me ask you a question.
Ask away.
Is it asking too much for the ISPs to offer their customers bandwidth-shaping profiles or QoS profiles that you can choose? In other words, can I ask my ISP for VoIP packet priority to make sure... Well, I guess maybe not QoS.
Caps the amount of a certain
Okay, maybe not QoS. What I maybe what I mean is like kind of like shaping or traffic shaping or whatever. Let's say the most important thing to me
is
that my VoIP always works.
It's totally reasonable, actually,
Okay, so if I maybe I want to choose, maybe I want to choose that, and maybe I pay a premium for it.
That's exactly the concept.
But that's different. That's me saying, hey, this is how I want my traffic
now,
shaped.
But you,
I don't want you to shape it for me.
Your shape is going to affect other people is the question here. Now.
Right.
Is your VoIP prioritized over your other traffic, or is it prioritized over everybody's traffic?
Right.
Well, if I'm paying for it, then they can take that money and improve the infrastructure to accommodate said traffic shaping.
You still didn't answer Russ's question. Are you asking for your VoIP packets to be...
Not over other customers' packets, over other packets coming from me.
Which you can do with your own
router. I don't think you should even have to pay for
that. I can do
that
with my own router?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah, you don't even have to pay for that.
I'm just checking.
Please do not let them charge us for that shit.
You can do it with your own router. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's the idea.
All right.
And, to Russ's point, I think... I'm pretty sure that's correct, that the shaping just limits, say you have 1.5 megs, shaping would say that you're going to reserve at all times 500, kilobits, half a meg for your VoIP traffic, and the rest you could care less what happens to it. See, from somebody else's perspective, they might be like, only at certain times of the day do I really care. If I shape my own traffic, when Joey is playing online games or, the wife is downloading porn or something like that, you want to be able to be sure, that you can still watch ESPN football.
All right, now look, let me ask another question. Let me put something else out there. The reason that this is just chase it with some beer, it makes it much better. The reason that I think a lot of this has come to light is because there were ISPs that acted, I don't know if you want to say unscrupulously, but they acted without the blessing of their customers.
It's possible.
Or their local government.
Sure.
And did things such as this
bad things.
ISP in North Carolina is mentioned in this
nasty
article
things.
That that just shut down Vonage. Basically,
yes.
On their network. They just shut down Vonage, and then that was it.
And it's the current argument about P2P traffic. Peer-to-peer traffic. Thank you. Granddad.
P2P was fine.
P2P was fine.
You guys got a cease and desist letter?
From who?
You did? Oh, from
who?
Your shape. From Speakeasy?
They sent it to Speakeasy, and then they forwarded on.
What's your monthly usage like?
Not for that. For copyright violation.
Uh-oh. For what?
Downloading The Wire.
Downloading
from
The
where?
Wire. What wire?
Oh, see, I don't do any torrent.
Oh.
I have stopped. I'm looking at other ways to get illegal content. I think the problem is you download it and then you're hosting it. If you don't think about it too much. Stop seeding.
Right, you have to, if you're...
I really was probably busting out for downloading as much as
for seeding. Yeah. And actually, you should just use the BitTorrent options to cap your upload. So that it shows up as less of a blip on there.
And I wasn't sure if that would change anything.
Encrypted should have, but I don't know enough
Oopsie
about that.
Poopsie.
I don't know enough about the protocol to know if.
Yeah, I mean, I tried to look it up, but then I got bored.
I stick strictly with Usenet.
Yeah.
So there's like HTTPS Usenet and clients you can get to download it from that. Mm-hmm. So I started looking.
Easy News.
There is a new torrent.
EasyNews.com,
baby. There's a new torrent based client.
First of all, EasyNews.com, if I may just say.
Yes.
That they assemble, okay? They assemble. You know, files that are split in parts, okay? They also auto unrar files as well. So not only do they assemble the parts into the RAR files.
I was using Miro.
Yeah.
Actually just plays them
from wherever. Right.
That's pretty neat. You can pick files from a page and zip them up into a big old zip file, then just download the zip file. And the question is the ISP peeking at zip files,
you can do.
But if you use the HTTPS protocol, which I was reading about, using that HTTPS,
It'd be much harder.
SSL, eventually, yeah.
Right.
Well, they can't see the traffic.
Yeah.
Right.
Period.
The thing, Easy News also does not, they claim that they do not store any logs. They don't keep any logs of downloads.
So it's basically like the Pirate Bay.
Well, it's just Usenet. It's just Usenet. There's a lot of legitimate stuff on Usenet.
Right.
There's a lot of illegitimate stuff on Usenet.
Right.
Pirate Bay is pretty much all illegitimate.
That's not true.
I mean, on
Usenet.
Not
completely true.
The bulk, I mean, probably the bulk of Usenet from a number of posts is legitimate discussion. But from a data thing. Mm-hmm. But see, now Easy News keeps like 30 to 50 days worth of binaries. I mean, it's unbelievable. And they have a global search. You can search across all groups and see thumbnails of video files and thumbnails of JPEGs.
It's a long way from Snarf.
Oh, Snarf. How about Free Agent? How about Free Agent? Remember Free Agent?
I'll use that some particular.
You want to know what
stories I believe
before
I over
alt sex stories was so great.
An entire summer just alt sex.
Alt sex stories was
got
so great.
Before
I used Free Agent, you ready for this? Before I used Free Agent, Russ, you know what I did? You know what I had to do? I had to download.
Myself.
I had to download post after. I had to. Okay. The only means I had was to use the Cleveland Freenet.
Ooh.
Okay, and I had to, you know, and it would parse these long UU encoded posts, and you know, it would be like more.
Long.
I had to like basically copy and paste into a text file all of this UU, and then use a UU decoder, to turn it into the binary.
And then it was
took
one,
and that
picture,
was to look
was
at one picture, pictures. One picture of Ginger Lynn with a cock in her mouth. You know,
I recall those days. And not fondly.
You know what? It was exciting. It was fucking exciting, dude.
It's like the first time you had that glossy porn bag.
It was just amazing. Man. Somebody figured out a way to turn a binary file into text, into ASCII text. And that was it.
It's never been all that hard.
And then
really
all that's up there is a bunch of letters and numbers and symbols and shit. You know?
Yes.
What is it? I mean, that's you know. Anyway.
Anyway.
Currently, according to the Google Zeitgeist, Cleveland Browns are the 36th most searched thing.
36th?
In the world?
36th.
36th. Not 360
you know
millionth.
Because we have five motherfucking primetime
players.
Games this
Oh, five prime?
We do?
Nights,
three?
Thursday?
Three?
Sunday.
You're kidding.
Three Monday night games?
They can't even take the Sunday away. It's week two.
God,
three
I gotta
Monday
start
Nighters?
Buying tickets.
Philly,
damn it.
Buffalo, those are both away.
Yeah.
We host the Giants.
Oh, our schedule is murderous. It's the NFC East. The only hope we have is that the rest of our division stinks. It's a distinct possibility that it will.
Yeah.
I think we've got to go 4-2 or 5-1 in the division. Because don't forget, the rest of the division has to play the NFC East also.
Yep.
So if we can just do well in our division, we can win the division and get to the postseason, and anything can happen.
If you
look,
though, the teams that could be, like Houston could be good, we have to play them. Tennessee showed that they might be good last year, but to be honest, that might not hold up. I always have doubts about Jacksonville, although they really
It was a real bummer that we laid an egg
We're
against Cincinnati.
Here. And I actually
You really believe we can win?
Our offense can play with them now, if not better, because they're off their peak. With Stallworth to take it long, Jarvis is over the middle.
It all comes down. Braylon, it all comes down to the health of the offensive line. If Derek Anderson can just sit back in the pocket, any quarterback basically in the NFL, if they can sit in the pocket, they're going to pick apart the defense unless they're just a complete bum. I mean, Ken frickin' Dorsey can sit in the pocket and pick apart a defense if he has
Trent Dilfer's got a Super Bowl.
Five or six seconds to throw. Yeah. Look. All you have to look at is the Washington Redskins from 1981 until 1991 or 2, whatever. 82 to 90, whatever. Joe Theismann, Doug Williams, Mark Rippon. Now look, don't get me wrong. All three of those guys were Pro Bowl caliber quarterbacks in their prime.
They've gone to the Pro Bowl.
Joe Theismann was... Theismann was a fine, mobile quarterback with accurate, smart. I mean, look, the guy was a commentator for years. He was smart, charismatic, tough. He's a tough guy. Notre Dame, I mean, big-time player, okay? Big-time player. Doug Williams, in his prime, was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He took the fucking Buccaneers to the playoffs in the early 80s. Okay, and just think about what that is, what that says about him. Okay, and he had a big time arm. And Mark Rippon, obviously classic pocket passer. Okay, not mobile, big guy, but he had like the prettiest, deep ball, in the league. And he was, the numbers he put up were positively gaudy.
Is that their guy, their line or
the
something?
Hogs. The Hogs. That's right. And that's the constant. The constant really is that I think the left side of that line, which was the center, Jeff Bostic. Russ Grimm, the guard. Jacoby, the tackle.
Russ Grimm for a while? I feel like I know that name.
Russ Grimm was coaching for the Steelers or something.
That's right. He's the guy that's in... were they talking about him for the job, or did he go to...
They talked about him. No, Wisenhunt went to Arizona.
No, but I think Grimm did.
Did he follow Wisenhunt there?
I think so.
Well, all I know is it's an absolute travesty that Jacoby and Grimm are not in the Hall of Fame. It's a fucking... It's a travesty because we're talking about in a 10 year span, we're talking about four Super Bowls and they won three with three different starting quarterbacks, three different lead running backs.
And Art Monk.
Well, yeah, Art Monk and...
Who is not in either, by the way.
He's in now. He just got in this year.
That's remarkable.
I mean, the guy at one point had the most catches in the history of the NFL, and it took him like 10 tries to get fucking in the Super Bowl. It was ridiculous.
He's the Susan Lucci.
That team gets no fucking respect. Okay, the only one, besides Art, now that Art Monk is in, and Darryl Green, I think, is got in on the first ballot. Okay? So you got Darryl Green, you got Art Monk, and you got John Riggins, and... Anybody else?
I don't know the team that well.
I can't even think of anybody else. And the fact that Grimm and Jacoby aren't even close is just it's a joke. It's a joke.
Blockers don't get any credit, man.
Yeah, there are plenty of them in the Hall of Fame, dude. Plenty.
Plenty, but not compared to position. I mean, I just wonder what the numbers are from year to year.
Well,
what does it matter? Are you trying to advocate for some kind of net neutrality in the Hall of Fame?
That's right. What are we talking about?
So where were we?
We had segued. We were done with that. I think we covered it well enough that most people should understand.
Let's try to argue.
Cleveland football is important.
Let's try to argue,
especially if we have a chance at anything postseason.
Let's argue the other side, though.
Why?
Well, Nicholas did that, and let's see if we can actually do that. I mean, yes, he is. And what I'm saying is does he have a point?
I want to see that. I guess he
does.
Is it your point?
I blow my nose at you. I fart in your general direction.
Is he like the CEO of something?
No, he writes.
Comcast?
Wait a minute. I have to read. It's not that long. I have to read some of it.
All right, you read. Okay. Out loud.
His post is called Fight the Switzer Net.
The Switzer Net?
So there is a lot of hoopla about net neutrality just now. Telecoms don't like net neutrality because they want to be able to discriminate between bits. That is to say, they want to be able to send certain bits across the network faster than others. Pretend you have a website with a big audio or video file and you want it to load quickly when people visit your page. Telecoms want to be able to charge you an additional fee and then put rush delivery on packets from your website. This is especially important with the sudden emergence of delay-sensitive applications such as Skype and other VoIP services. Neutralists say this should be illegal. The basic argument, best I can make out, is that telecoms want to run roughshod over local ISPs and any content providers who do not pay exorbitant fees. Essentially, that big bandwidth companies are the devil, and without strict regulation, they will destroy the internet. I have heard several people describe the problem with the hypothetical instance of two search engines. For this example, we'll use Google and MSN. The fear is that MSN will block users of its ISP services from seeing Google web pages, or will actually redirect that traffic to the search.msn page, or make all Google searches take a long time, or in some way abuse their power over the packets to interfere with their customers' web surfing. The problem with this argument is that behavior is clearly anti-competitive and falls under current antitrust laws. Why do we need new internet-specific laws when we have laws already on the books to address the potential harm?
So that's the first. He's talking about anti-competitive things, whereas I think we were more worried about the small guy getting his traffic steamrolled over.
I mean, this goes back to my initial question, which I don't know if it got answered, is, as a customer, why do I care if YouTube has been charged money by my ISP?
Because when you go somewhere not to YouTube, it'll take you longer.
But what I'm saying is, why
they're not going to be do this altruistically. You'll absorb the fees.
Well, no, YouTube.
You're telling me YouTube's going to charge me money?
They're going to do like cable a la carte, which is met with huge opposition?
You're telling me that YouTube is going to charge me money?
No, not necessarily. It'll be a proxy. It's your ISP charging you extra money to pay the extra fee from YouTube.
You know, honestly, though, YouTube shouldn't charge a thing to watch. But if they charged a quarter, just 25 cents, or maybe just 99 cents to upload a video, would that be so bad?
That would not be so bad. No, getting used to free stuff on the internet is the worst thing ever. Because how do you make money from it? I still don't know how Google does it, to be honest.
Ads.
It's
a Google ad?
Absolutely.
Like four times so in my life.
Absolutely. Well, I've clicked
on
a Google
ad. I don't even look at the top of my search results.
Look at it. No, look. Look at it this way. Some companies are making money through internet downloading. I mean, look, we've seen it in music finally. Per song prices are low enough that it's actually more convenient.
How many songs has iTunes sold? A billion?
Yeah, I mean, a huge. So they found a model that works. It doesn't have to be free, but it also doesn't mean that you have to prioritize traffic from iTunes to your, you know, to your doorstep. Like Irv said, at certain times of the day, I might want that YouTube faster, but I might not.
A very fascinating article about.
I don't want them to have that control. I want me to have that control.
1994.
Yeah.
You know, processor power was expensive. Memory was expensive.
Yes.
Hard drive space.
Indeed.
Memory was expensive.
Indeed.
So they created, you know, strategies like, what's it called? The thing that used to shrink the first virtual disk doubler.
Disk doubler, yeah.
Good old disk doubler. And there was another one that would start, you would create swap space before that was part of the operating system.
Yeah.
Drive space or like, something like that?
Drive space or mem, dub, mem something.
Yeah, something like that. So they had all these programs that people might use because those two things were expensive. The most expensive thing right now is bandwidth. And in 10 years, it won't be. So this won't even be an issue. Who cares who's prioritizing what?
I agree with you. I think that this is a money grab now.
But
because if they don't do it now, they know it's not going to be, they're not going to be able to make a legitimate argument
in
a few years. I mean, look, when people have fiber coming into their homes,
mm-hmm. It'll be wireless at that point, but to devices
or like WiMAX or whatever, 16. If it's fast enough,
yeah.
Put a little antenna on your roof or whatever.
Yeah. I still won't want. I'd still rather have fiber than WiMAX.
Well, sure, but I'm just saying. I mean,
or Y Ultra, whatever.
And
the
what are we really talking about? I mean, what are we really talking about here? What? how much bandwidth is it going to take for? Look, what we know what's coming. We know what's coming. The next killer app is clearly going to be the mature
full HD on the.
I'm talking about the mature web-based applications.
That is already here.
I mean, that's here,
I've been using Google Apps or spreadsheets a lot recently.
It's not fully ready yet. It's real close. That's what I'm saying. Right. How much bandwidth do we really need for these applications?
As soon as we hit the video that we see on our TVs,
and
when you can easily watch that whenever you want, or maybe even multiplex four of them onto your screen or whatever,
yeah,
and switch between angles during a football game.
Yeah.
So we're talking another 6, 7, 10 times the bandwidth we currently have. But at that point, it'll be like monitors. They don't get more resolution.
At that point, nothing.
And hence you see, because
no application will come close to HD signal or whatever is after HD. You know.
Well, they're already saying that the cable is saturated as far as HD content is going anyway.
How do you like HD? Like, high definition television.
Yeah, coax can only handle so many.
Thing that I've ever enjoyed spending money for. I can't like intellectually support having HD to watch TV better, but fuck if it isn't better.
I like it too.
I watch a lot of TV these days, unfortunately.
I want to talk to you guys about something very important that, and this is kind of, it's slightly relevant. Dory and I are moving.
Oh, have you bought?
We're closing on a house.
Beautiful.
April 24th. In
Shaker Heights. Yes!
That's cool.
East side!
Because one thing that Dory and I love is property taxes. No, all right.
Actually, I think yours are still lower than mine.
No, Shaker Heights is higher than Cleveland Heights.
How much? We're probably splitting hairs at this point. I don't think it's going to reach.
It might reach.
Well, congratulations, sir.
Yes, now, congrats.
If you want to know where the house is, how well do you know Shaker Heights?
I know it pretty well.
Okay.
Isn't that over by, like, the LeMond area?
Let me do it. Let me do it.
Computer which just croaked.
You're good.
Power?
I did my first battery test on my flight to
Las Vegas.
I downloaded, illegally downloaded, I'll say, Ocean's 13, and got about an hour and 20 minutes into it.
Not bad. Watching video.
Movie.
Video's a little bit rough on battery time, though. Yeah, not too bad.
Okay.
Anyway, Irv, is it over by the LeMond area? I mean,
no.
Is it? No?
No, it actually is not. Drexmore. Okay.
Yeah.
You know Frankie doesn't go to school for another 3 years, right?
I do know that.
Yeah.
And believe me, we were told that by a couple of people who begged us not to buy a house, not now and not in Shaker Heights, but okay.
Why not?
We went.
Why not now? I mean, I understand why.
Because he claimed it was the epicenter of the housing crisis. I know. I said, dude, it's not a flip. We're going to live there for 15 years.
Okay? Yeah, take
Don't
advantage of it,
worry
please.
About it. Anyway,
hell, if you could pick up a house on Fairmount.
Because he read one article in the New York Times.
He's an idiot.
Okay, it doesn't matter. He doesn't live here. He doesn't know. He's not an idiot.
I'm sorry.
He's not an idiot.
He's not an idiot.
He just doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
And he's had...
Uninformed.
They've been in the same house for 20 years, and they're never going anywhere. Okay,
All right, let's move on. Move on.
Drexmore Road. Okay, let's... Picture this, if you will. You're coming up Shaker Heights from Shaker Boulevard from downtown.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right.
Yep.
You pass Shaker Square.
Of course.
Pass Van Aken.
Yeah.
Make a right on Coventry.
Uh-huh. I know exactly where you
make
are.
Make your first left onto Drexmore Road.
Gotcha.
Right before you get to the Boulevard School.
Uh-huh. I was going to say, you're
about
right,
a block up the street.
You're right by the school.
That's our house is right there.
Dude, that's awesome.
Right across the street.
Yeah,
Eagle,
the church,
200 whatever away. Is right there. We got the green space right here. Our neighbors are 500 feet across.
Yep.
Green space.
Great pie.
We got the house.
Yeah.
We got the house.
Yeah.
For about $70,000 to $75,000 under the tax assessed value in 2005.
Awesome.
And the seller.
Yeah.
Has to bring. 40 or 50 grand. divorce because they took a home equity loan.
And they lost
like
their shit.
Uh-huh. And then there was a divorce. And I feel bad, but look, it has nothing to do with me.
No, it isn't.
I'm making a risk. This is a business decision.
Exactly.
My family business.
Yeah. You're not meant to pay for their problems.
Here's what I've decided to do.
Great.
I am not getting hot service.
I do not have pot service either.
I am getting wide out stuff.
Oh, your cable. Really?
Wowing.
Yeah.
JD Power. I have Dish now. Okay? And Dish is okay. And I'm sure DirecTV is okay too. I can get HD and all that stuff with Wowing. We're not going to get it just yet. What are you guys looking at?
Your house.
Which one? Well, do you want to... I wonder if you're actually looking. Oh. Okay. Let me actually show you where it is. That's really... that is... right.
Where's that?
No, it's right here.
Oh, then you lied.
Right. No, I said... You said Coventry, and then make a... You know, I said make a right on Coventry. Then make a left. Here's the school. This is my house right here, basically.
Nice.
Well, that's not it. That's on Shaker. It's right. It's like over here. Take it down here.
Yeah, you're covered by trees.
All right. You can see.
See,
you
somebody's
can see
discriminating your patents.
No. We've done street view. You can. You want to put the address in?
No, don't.
Okay.
You made a great decision.
Okay. I'm happy.
Goodbye.
I'm excited with Wowie. Okay.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Shut up a second.
And I lied. I do have POTS. Because I have DSL. I didn't want to have cable. Yeah.
All right.
Cable is is too expensive. They're raping you.
Okay. Why don't you listen for
taking it to the hole.
Second. Listen, asshole.
Okay.
Cocksucker. Listen. It's got... What we're getting is what's called digital sound.
Okay.
That's the TV. It's got 75 channels. Plus video on demand. All right.
Yeah. Plus.
And 2 megabit internet service.
Yeah.
$85.
Not bad. Not great.
I think that's right there with the internet.
Two
megabit down, 384 up. And hold on. Let me show housing.
Here's one of the things I have. This is one of the problems I have with the digital internet services, is that they may advertise that certain speed, but that is definitely not consistent. I have found, just through personal usage,
I'm not worried about
my
that.
Bandwidth is
I
more
am not
consistent
worried about that.
With DSL.
They get up. I'm not.
Yeah,
I don't
what,
host.
And what's
I,
your
I
up?
Really don't host.
Well, what's your uplink? I mean, we're uplink.
What do I have here?
I mean, there. What are you gonna have there?
Upload.
Yeah.
384.
And what do you have here?
384.
Okay.
All right, cool. That's cool.
And you get you're gonna go.
I bought the magic.
Wow.
In fact, I got two of them.
Wow.
This costs, Magic Jack costs $30 a year. Unlimited calling, call waiting, two way calling, call forwarding, voicemail, all that shit. Okay. I'm trying to get the reviews are off. The USB device. Put it in one of your computers. You've got a plug on the other end. You can plug your household phone.
Yep.
I'm gonna plug my 5-way wireless phone into this thing.
Yep.
And I got a second one for the computer.
Nice.
This is a virtual zero configuration. You do everything at their website, and you get internet. You get 216 phone numbers.
Great.
And basically, I'm not gonna have. I basically paid $200. For these two units and 5 years of service on each.
Nice.
Think about that.
Except in 5 years, it'll be pointless.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, they've already been around for a couple of years. They're getting unbelievable reviews. What's that? Yeah, the reception is good, but we don't want to go straight.
Okay.
Fair enough. So, besides, I got to have, like, fax machines. And even though fax machines really aren't necessarily made to work.
You really, you probably don't even need one.
You basically take it down to the minimum speed, like 2400 baud or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I have this thing. It can
pull me in.
Any incoming and outgoing fax goes into my email from that thing. So this is the piece of flair. Well, I wanted a color printer and a scanner and everything else too.
It's
networked. It's networked. You know, it's got a.
It's a good thing that Dory's nerdy in other ways.
Well, anyway, the point is that what we're paying today is like $150, $160 a month.
Yeah.
For TV, internet, phone, everything else.
Third.
Basically. We're gonna save. I mean, potentially save like $80.
That's great.
$80 a month.
Fantastic.
We'll see how
good
the,
business.
Huawei has won a bunch of J.D. Power awards and stuff. We're gonna see how it turns out.
Yeah. Very nice. Very good.
But you know what? That I don't know. Probably not. You can't use like asterisk or any kind of TLC. I'm very upset. The reviews on Magic Jack are
through the roof. Nice job.
PC Magazine and everybody else is like, fuck, the call quality is amazing, blah, blah, blah.
Nice job.
Give it a try.
Good job. Excellent.
Try.
Can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah. I'm excited about Huawei, too, because I think it's a very, very fair price. I really do. And look, if you haven't heard the complaints about them, like you do, like Time Warner.
Don't know, man. Don't know.
The straight internet service. I don't know. I don't know. Russ, it's a good question. Your installation's going to be $20, and don't forget we're tacking on $8 a month for DVR. So really, the service.
You're renting a DVR.
But that's how Dish does it too.
Really? I thought you could bring your own.
Mine is like $5 a month.
Then you're not allowed to bring your own?
I probably could, but maybe for this, maybe for Huawei I could do. Yeah, just go Huawei. I could probably use my own DVR with this service because you can actually plug a TV
right in.
If you don't go to the digital, if you don't go to a digital packet with HD programming,
uh-huh.
You can go right into the back of a TV.
Why
without a box?
Oh, yeah.
If you have to have a box,
I don't understand.
You have to get a DVR that can interact with it. I guess.
This whole thing with them doing protected H or encrypted HD content is bullshit. The fact that you have to have a device in between the stream and your TV, and it has to negotiate keys each way just to have that content. This is all crap. Over-the-air HD works great. It looks fantastic. I've been able to watch ball games and golf. Golf is fantastic in HD. I was watching. We saw it out in Vegas. HD for the Masters. There was some incredible pictures.
Wait, what's this? How much? For what?
A month.
How high?
That's Irv's package right there.
Yeah, that's
got the phone in the
phone. No, you didn't do it right.
Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, don't click there. Click on where you get to configure what you actually want. Okay, let me see.
HD should work just like regular old cable works, where you just plug the cable right in the TV and you get cable channels.
So should
HD. But it doesn't right now.
You see where it says here? Internet. Just says
it
internet.
Didn't work in the music industry. Do they really think that it's going to work
packages
in the video industry?
And pricing.
Come on. Wake up. Even the RIAA is losing court battles finally, which is joyous.
Exciting. All right, look. It says get pricing, and you'll just click internet and not cable and phone. When my laptop dies, we end the show.
Oh, okay.
Remember?
Yeah.
I give an hour and a half of battery life. Nice. Yeah. So click on internet. And then on the left, click on packages and pricing. Although I may be eating all the bandwidth right now.
What are you streaming?
I'm not streaming at a very high rate.
I was here a second ago.
No, I mean, what are you downloading that's eating up all the bandwidth?
Why? We
and
have
why
a
do we
buzz
have a
on
terrible buzz?
We have a hum on the line. Do we have a hum on the line?
No.
I mean,
there's a good deal.
All right, here's what I'm saying. Value internet is $34.99.
Dude, you're way loud.
Good. I'm looking at Ultra Plus internet, which is 6 megabits down, 1 megabit up is $63.99 a month.
I pay $25 for 2 meg down and 512 up.
I can't, and here's another thing. I can't get better than 768 down in this house.
In this house, yeah. What about the new one?
Well, it's you know what, though? I hear what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I do. I really. What's the matter? You can't get the website?
No, it's loaded now. I hit package pricing and I still get the box.
Wait a minute.
It's a scam.
Really?
It's a scam.
Well,
it's a phishing website.
Click on internet. Oh, no. See down here? Yeah, just click on internet and then get pricing. I know, it's a little weird. They're trying.
They're trying to get
you
the damn.
They want to bundleize you. I mean, they want to bundleize you. Anyway, the point is that you can. I mean, you can do pretty well. 4 megabits for $46.99. Look, I've been happy with AT&T. I have.
I'm not saying that you're not.
I have an Ameritech email address. That's how long I've had DSL.
I know, okay? Dude. I know, dude. And it's totally fine for you. I mean, it is what you need.
I
want to
try
cool.
something different. I can always go back.
I understand.
I can always go back.
I know.
Mm-hmm. So, you know.
I'm on the line.
Very good. We do have some kind of unholy hump. I can actually filter that out, though.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I wonder if bandwidth is like income. That it, as soon as you get more, your lifestyle inflates to fill it.
Well, that's why I only got the 2 megabit.
Yeah.
I said if I had 6 megabit, I'll never fuck my wife again. There'll be so much porn in my life that
be
Dory will
within
be
a year.
Lucky.
She'd kill
She'll
you.
Be lucky. If I can achieve an erection, because I'll be so spent,
dude.
I'll be spent.
Do you, we come over here and find a knife in
it
your...
It looks that way. $35. Right.
So what is it? How much? How much for...
$35 a month for 7.58. 2
megabits. But it's $12 more. You're at 4 megabits.
Right. Still
if
more.
If you go all the way to $63.99. But see, here's the thing.
Not my phone line.
Yeah, Speakeasy's... Bank.
Why did you? I mean, that's a decision. Oh, you're static. You should have canceled a long time ago. Yeah, good. Now that we're agreed,
but here's the problem.
Russ, now that we're agreed,
here's your problem is that WoW probably isn't available where you are.
Oh, really?
Probably not. They are in Shaker Heights. Probably aren't where you are. But here's the next thing: do you want to buy this house? What do you think? Times.
I'm getting 10. Married this year. So
yeah. He has
anything.
No money.
Can you hold it for about a year and a half?
Why aren't you going to keep it and rent it?
We are trying to.
You should. Absolutely.
We're trying to. We don't want to sell it now, but if we could get our target number, we'll sell it.
We've got to get a year around about a year.
How many square feet you got?
Not including the basement in the neighborhood of 1,200. But if you want to include, like, that room and that bathroom, which is semi-finished, then you're getting closer to, like 1,300-1,400.
In this market, I mean, maybe you could put it up for like 60 to 80.
What?
Seriously?
No.
Yep.
I think
maybe Tremont
way off.
Maybe Tremont location makes it a little bit better, but
a lot.
I mean, price per square
a
foot. You know, I'm looking at buying. Almost 2,900 square feet next door where I'm at for 100K.
What condition is it?
Needs work, but mostly superficial stuff. Figure another figure another 120, or figure 120 total with renovation. Yeah.
100.
Uh-huh.
2,900 square feet.
Yeah, it's a double. Triple, actually. Three units.
Look at the slumlord demand.
Yeah. The value of this place has got to be higher than 60 to 80. I mean...
He's going to punch you.
I'll kill you.
I don't. I know he will.
I will kill you.
It's the same way you got a great deal on your new house. This is why I would highly recommend that you try to rent this place out. I don't think you'd have a lot of trouble doing it.
Well,
and you could
already,
probably get a grand a month for a rental.
We've already had one person come see it.
Wow, does not service.
Yes. Yeah. Check mine, 44118. Please, thank you.
Please, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, for 1,200 square feet, you should be able to get at least a grand for rental in this place, if not more.
Wow, services are available.
I mean, I would expect that would at least come close to covering your nut.
Put it up for $1,350.
Sounds like a great deal. I figure you might get 12. If you got 12, I'd take it if I were you.
What rental?
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Remember that as a rental property, any loss is a loss against year-end taxes.
Yeah, but it's at a huge discount. I mean, you know, what are you really... I mean, your tax rate is only like 25% or something.
I don't know, man. I'm just saying.
Yeah, wouldn't you rather own and then you can write off the frickin'
some people
interest in real estate tax? That's true. We already did. I know, your place is humongous. I'm not saying that... I am not suggesting that you move out of your place and rent this one.
I am suggesting you
move out of your place and buy this one.
Well, it would make sense.
Well, that's the thing. I I think the location of this place is about. I think it's as good as you can get in Tremont. I think the person who came to look at it used to live in Tremont.
Mm-hmm.
So you, I hope that they, you know, I'm tempted to call. I don't want to call them and say, oh, we'll take, you know. I'm tempted to call them and just be like, hey, what did you think? You know, is there anything? I mean, I would be like, hey, you signed a 2-year lease. I'll knock, you know, you can have it for
10%.
$1,250. Mm-hmm. Just sign a 2-year lease.
Remember that in the state of Ohio, and especially in Cuyahoga County, that even if they sign a 2-year lease, they can still break it with 2 months' notice. You
is
can't,
that true?
Yes. I am a landlord. It is true.
How'd you find that out?
I checked both the tenant and landlord bill of rights documentation that is available from many different sources.
Yeah,
unless they show, like, malicious...
Why? You know why? Is the NFL draft approaching? I thought he was number 2.
Herschel Walker.
Well, Herschel Walker just came out and said he has multiple personalities. So anyway, look. Let me go back to Nicholas's email for a second.
Okay.
You've depressed me. If you really think I can only get $80,000 for this house.
Dude, I'm totally sorry. I'm totally sorry.
No, you're wrong.
I hope I am.
You have to be wrong.
Have you looked at any other houses around here that have sold?
But it's very hard to do comps in Tremont.
That's why you do comps on square footage.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Even so, it's extremely difficult to do comps in this neighborhood by any standard. Okay? Because the location 2 blocks over is desperately, you know, is incredibly different. Okay? Much, much, much different.
There aren't a lot of
No, there aren't. Not in Tremont. In Ohio City and places like that, there are more. There's some more, like, well, you know, we're talking about deeper into, like, Ohio City. Not maybe so much where you are.
Anyway, I don't mean...
You have angered me, sir.
I okay. don't mean to anger
me
you or depress you. I mean,
me
you know,
see.
I tend
he,
to be realistic about he, these things.
He says, Nicholas, just to get back to what he said. He said, so net neutrality essentially boils... I have to go to something else. net neutrality essentially boils down to 2 points. One, can companies customize services for their customers and charge differently for each level of service, which they already do just on a strictly bandwidth.
I think you got into the heart of the matter by saying, is this a public? The public has a say.
Right. Well, I mean, is this like...
Of course a company can price whatever they want, whatever they want. And if they don't do it right, they go out of business. But
something like
not
that.
The kind of companies that go out of business.
Well, you got it. You have, look, AT&T has a pretty healthy business servicing lines. The lines that, you know, Time Warner services the actual cable. You know, okay. Two, can companies charge for actual traffic through pipes or just for connection width? Anyone who stops for a second and thinks about this will quickly realize that no other business is limited like this. And in fact,
that's not true.
And in fact, anyone who has ever had to send an emergency package by two-day air or overnight delivery very much appreciates the principle of prioritization.
That's a great example to use.
The mail neutrality analog is for the post office and FedEx to have ground, two-day, and overnight deliveries available, but then be forced by law to randomly select what gets put on each delivery schedule. I don't agree with that at all. I don't agree with that point at all. What? How?
There's something there, but the big thing that people worry about with post office is what you wouldn't have if you got rid of it in all private. No longer have service in a small box.
You're telling me that FedEx won't go to Podunk Town? Or UPS? UPS won't deliver to
Alaska.
Rural route to Alaska. Okay. Fair enough. Wait a minute. All right, here we go.
The reason to have these things at all public is some things that tend to fall through the cracks in private business. It's profitable to do so. It's the right thing to do so for business shareholders.
You know, the interesting thing there, though, is that similar to the rule concepts that we just talked about, there's no discrimination about the source or destination with paying for faster service, which is what you're doing with the mail. With mail, you can pay for faster service. Faster service right now is bandwidth.
Yeah.
So well, you can pay as a consumer.
But that's more of the...
No, think about it.
It's a bigger tube, not a...
It's not a more direct route. It is a just simply...
You can't pay for a more direct route. Network hops don't work that way.
Hold on. He continues. As for connection with the gym is the only natural model I can think of that emulates this rate structure, but when used at the gym, the system is widely ridiculed. When you go to a bookstore, should you pay for a number of pages and have a book of that size randomly picked for you? Apple makes an iPod Color, and an iPod Video. Should they be required by an iPod neutrality law to charge the same amount for all three and randomly assign you one on purchase?
That's a terrible analogy.
I don't understand these analogies at all. I mean, what we're talking about here, again, I just simply do not distinguish...
You're not doing a good job of arguing.
Well, I want to understand what he's saying.
He says at the end,
Irv, the most offensive thing of all was the idea that the internet should be run like an interstate highway. The average American spends 38 hours a year stopped in traffic. You want your internet to look like this. And then he goes, ciao, dorks, thanks for the awesome show. So, and he redeems himself at the end of the email.
He's obviously a guy, and it's fine to have different opinions. I think... See, when I think of what they're proposing, it's sitting on a highway watching, you know, FedEx trucks or you know,
right.
Apple
it's sitting in the
right.
They have money to pay.
When we're sitting on the highway, we are all sitting
on
the
highway.
It doesn't matter if you're an 18-wheeler or in a refrigerant truck or anything. The only thing that gets through are emergency services.
And sometimes they don't even get through.
And sometimes they can't if the shoulder isn't available.
Exactly.
Like in Miami. You ever driven in Miami?
Oh, it's horrible.
The worst place I've ever driven. And I've driven in Boston.
Boston's
a lot better since the big dig's over.
When I drove in Miami, it wasn't bad.
I had like rush hour like every 3 hours. It was packed. It was a flyby.
Yep.
Anyway, I think there is something to this idea of being able to charge for another service, but you know, life doesn't have to be fair. It's going to be a little more. I know it sucks to watch, but maybe that's all right.
Again, I think the closest thing is this thing now that you can do to bypass security, or, you know, you have elite whatever at the Continental desk and you go right through, or at the amusement park you can pay for to bypass the line, okay? And, you know, but to me, it's fine at the amusement park. That's private property. And it's, look, the internet has gone way.
Oh, wait a minute.
The internet has gone way past.
I have an example.
Way past the, you know, way past a boutique type thing. Okay, this is ubiquitous. It is essential to our home. Look, it's essential to our economy. It is essential to our national security. My family phone's going to be on the internet. Let me put it to you this way. I do not. But look, to me, though, my family phone is going to be on the internet. It's incumbent upon the providers of this software or these services to figure out how to make it work reliably.
That's not anything we're used to on the internet, though.
Well, but,
right.
You know.
And quite honestly, that's where some of the legislation that came out that gave common carrier status to the phone companies, because the phone companies have certain regulations they have to adhere to, i.e., if the power goes out, your phone still works. If the power goes out, your internet generally don't work no more. It's
generally,
never been an expected level of service.
You get a decent UPS. Good to go.
On your end, it might be up. On the other end, it might be completely down. Depends on the order of magnitude.
Way.
Come on.
Tell me those routers aren't on generators and things.
You were a part of the big blackout of whatever year that was.
Well, we didn't have any power, so we didn't know if the internet was up or down.
Yeah. Anyway, our shit was down. But as far as we were concerned, it was down.
Well, sure.
From our perspective.
But if we still had our what the hell did we have over there?
T1.
We had T1?
Two.
Yeah. If our T1, in the closet over by Dave's.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. If our T1 was still up, uh-huh, and our networking equipment was still up,
uh-huh,
I bet we still would have had internet. I bet.
Probably true. So here's an example of.
We had full power outages, which we had a lot of nickel lights. Mm-hmm. We kept it up. By the end, I don't know.
Laptop is dead.
Last point, then. Here's an example of how it does work for tiered service on the internet right now.
Okay.
You can buy subscriptions to FTP sites that get you priority access into their queues. You are buying priority with the service. The internet doesn't care that you bought priority. So if you want to talk about content providers, then yeah, if you paid YouTube $10 a month, maybe you got a priority into their
service.
Right.
But the bottleneck is,
and that's one of the points why this is a ludicrous argument for them to prioritize traffic over the internet.
Look, as far as I'm concerned, I equate the
speed
internet
equals width.
Forget the interstate. I equate it with the telephone. Okay, there is no, as far as I know, there is no real prioritization outside of emergency service type things on my telephone. As long as I can get a circuit,
you got a conversation.
I can make a call and that's it. Mm-hmm.
Or even make a data call. It doesn't care what traffic's going over it.
Right.
It just works.
I'm sorry. The internet service providers, okay, and the backbone have got to understand, in my opinion, that they are something more. They are approaching like accepted monopoly status,
common
which means
carrier.
That they are going to have to adhere to this, you know, sort of public good mentality. They get all the people who piggyback on them. They can charge them whatever fees they want. So Vonage has to pay, you know, all the telcos and everything
money
to make their service happen, okay? Mm-hmm. And period. And so that's fine, okay? That's fine. But to charge one website to
charge Vonage and not Magic Jack.
Well, I'm sure Magic Jack is paying too.
Oh, no, that's right. But
competitive argument he makes. I don't really have a problem with that at all. I'm not too worried about.
But that's anti.
The question is, should, you know, Time Warner be able to charge YouTube or not? Here's, I guess what it comes down to is, And this is I think the main, to me, this is the crux of the problem, is trust. Okay, it's trust. And are these ISPs and everything else worthy of trust? Because they can, you know, I think there's really inherently nothing wrong with them, say, offering priority bandwidth to any customer willing to pay for it. You know, if that's what they want to be able to do, I don't really see a problem with that. But, you know, it can't be at the expense of the public good. And they have to realize that they are a part of our infrastructure. And you can't sacrifice the public good or exploit the public good for monetary gain beyond a certain point.
Who would have thought we're all liberals down here?
Excuse me.
I farted.
I think there's a little something on each side for sure.
Compelling.
I think that things won't get too bad as long as the information is out there and we know what's happening to us. It's not going to get that bad as long as people know.
Yeah. But I think that was the risk.
An ISP should not be allowed. An ISP should not be allowed to just shut down a service like. And this is why net neutrality might be the only way, is because the ISPs may not be worthy of trust.
Well, they've showed that in Canada. They shut down P2P traffic. And a bunch of people went, what the fuck?
And I mean,
no notice, no nothing. It was just shut off.
Right.
Whoever's the next Microsoft, I mean, you can make the same argument about an OS platform that's used by millions and millions of people. Millions and millions of companies. Hundreds of millions of people and businesses that operate systems to get things done. They could quite easily prioritize their other services.
And they continue to do so. There's been a ton of evidence that Microsoft shows preference towards launching certain. Right.
And you know, if the public can, there are very few businesses out there that you can trust. You can't even trust your fucking hospital.
Well, Google's definitely leaning towards being more of a provider. They've done some Wi-Fi stuff.
Yeah, that's true. That
well, you know, they...
Maybe they get scared. They say do no evil, but you trust them.
Yeah.
I do.
Got a lot of our data.
Android's going to be very... They don't have a lot of my data.
They have a lot of my data.
I have
a Gmail address, but I don't use it.
They are as close to a trustworthy company of that size.
Sure.
That I have seen in my lifetime. You know, I've got nothing against AT&T. They've been great to me, and their service has been excellent. You know, and if
the feds want a wiretap on you, hand it right over.
Yeah, but
yeah,
that's a problem. I mean, that's a problem. They shouldn't have done that.
The
government should have done that in the first. Should not have done that in the first place.
Yeah, that might be another show, you guys.
Yeah, we should. We should close up. It's getting late. It's time to go.
Mr. Conrad, I don't know if we addressed the issue.
Oh, he slapped his laptop closed hours ago.
I don't know if we addressed the issue. I don't know if we addressed the issue to your liking.
I don't know if we
expressed a technical grasp of the issue that you feel is worthy of our capabilities. We are more than willing to devote more time to this subject, so let us know. But in my opinion, I think your analogies that you used in your article are suspect. I won't say that they're invalid, but I don't necessarily agree that they're
invite him on as a guest caller, maybe? If he's feeling
if you feel like maybe you need to express yourself verbally,
I don't think we took his point of view very well. We tried at the end, but
the thing. I wanted to do it. I mean, I guess we just don't. I guess I just don't trust these companies, and I feel that the only way to preserve the infrastructure of our country is to regulate them and keep them from doing things that shut people out or I mean, am I way out of line here or something? Am I off base?
Yeah. I feel you, Doug.
I guess I think that's what I think that's really what it comes down to is trust, and I don't think corporations in this country can be trusted.
And that's what he's saying is we do trust these people.
And that's what he said. Like he said, there's already laws on the books. Well, that doesn't matter. That I think those laws.
I mean, there's a lot
those laws. They are
about
what they
these
are.
Very
what
companies. The fact that we are so far behind in terms of raw bandwidth to the home, globally.
Actually, due to a report a couple weeks ago, it said we're not as far behind as what the last one that had set.
I thought that was a little stupid. That's a factor of geography too. It's pretty easy to get Korea or Japan. Or the Netherlands wired to all get out.
Yeah, when they're the size of Ohio.
Britain, for instance.
Size of New Jersey or something.
Took to things because they had such a crap system.
To begin with, right.
So they jumped on. Cell phones blew up there because it was so much better than the systems they had.
Yeah. Well,
we should close.
All right. Look, Nick, we loved your email. Send us another one. Give us your response. This can be ongoing. It's good radio.
His website?
Come back with your URL. We'll plug your blog.
We really need to start doing some show notes.
I can't do it. You think you could do show notes?
I think I'm going to have to start doing it.
I think that Dewey should listen to the show after the fact and do the goddamn show notes. apparently this motherfucker, is traveling all the time, whining and dining fucking clients, and I'm proud of them.
For a failing company.
I'm proud of the a fatally flawed company. I'm proud of the guy, but, you know, do your goddamn job. No, I'm fucking kidding. We love you, Dewey.
We do.
We miss you.
We do.
We miss you.
Which is why we're so angry.
Oh, and by the way, I heard Nauticon was a big success, and we're really sorry we missed it.
Excellent.
I was sick, and these guys were at Dan the Master Googler's bachelor party. All legit. Really. Matt fucked a whore.
Not.
In Vegas.
No.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Damn. It was the other way around.
Peg?
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Nothing. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do anything. You paid your money. That's what you want.
No.
A big strap on. Buried balls deep in your ass.
That's just wrong.
That's a hell of a way to end the show, though.
Yeah, no
Thanks
shit.
For listening.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks
to
for
our family-oriented show.
www.dial-a-dork.com cafepress.com
/dialadork.
No hyphen. Dorks at dial-a-dork.com. Mr. Conrad, we anticipate your response and we look forward to it. Anything else, boys?
Vive la révolution!
I want an email from Nick explaining what the gym thing
is. All right, you're done.
He didn't explain the gymnasium
That's
analogy.
It. You're
just
done.
Said, I compare it to the gym. And it doesn't work there either. I'm
done.
Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Done.
Explain the gymnasium analogy.
Speak for yourselves, bitches.
I spend a lot of time in the gym, let me tell you. Okay, that's a lot. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week, maybe?
Good night.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Get all those pimps together. It was live.